Good morning. I am really, really excited to introduce you to somebody that I think can communicate this essential truth. Some of you are here and you see this big 12 behind us and you're like, what in the world are they all about here with that big 12? If you've never been here before, we're in the middle of a series. This is the 11th of 12 truths that we're saying if you don't get exactly right, the ramifications of its impact on your life are enormous. And this week, the truth that we're saying you cannot miss is this simple truth, that you are fearfully made for a wonderful purpose. Amen. And if you don't understand that God loves you and your master who created you has a mission for your life, you're missing out on all the life that your master created you for. And when we started thinking about this, I thought about Nick. And I thought about the way he lives his life and the man that he is. The scripture says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we are his workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And I thought, you know what? If I can show you somebody that is God's workmanship, that can't walk the way that you walk, that is doing it in ways that are exceedingly abundantly beyond more than many of us are doing, maybe you can get a glimpse that you're fearfully made for a wonderful purpose. And so I am really humbled to have God's servant here, my friend Nick Vojvodich. Let's hear from him. All right, Nick, God bless you.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. How are you? Fantastic. I'm not from the South. I'm from the real South, down under, Australia. And I've lived in California for the last 3 years, and I want to thank Pastor Todd so much and Watermark Church for having me here. It's fantastic to be here. And I've been blessed by God to be His workmanship, His mouthpiece, and a servant of the Most High God to show people how God can turn beauty from ashes, brokenness, lack of, where God can complete you on the inside. You know, we're always, as human beings, looking for something to complete us on the outside. But there's no point in being complete on the outside when you're broken on the inside. Amen? So this morning, it looks dark in here. This morning, I really want to just share with you from my heart the truths about God's Word and His sovereignty. Would you say sovereignty with me?
Sovereignty.
You know, what does that mean? I want to talk about that. I want to talk about how God never makes a mistake. No matter what you pray for, God is still God. You know, I love that story back in the Old Testament when you have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they're in a city. And their king says, you must bow down to the God we created. And they said, no, we will not bow down to your God. We will bow down to the living God, our God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they said, but if you don't bow to our God, then we're going to throw you into the fire. And they said, okay. They said, okay, if you do that, that's okay, because God is going to save us from the flames. But if He doesn't, He is still God. I want that thought, that seed in your mind today that will give you the new perspective about God and His plan for your life. Jeremiah 29:11, I ask you, if you do have a pen and paper near you, even if you normally don't take notes, this is the one to take notes on. I'm going to be quoting some scriptures that have changed my life. And to give you a bit of background as to my story is His story about how much He loved me and how much His grace has provided me all that I need. I'm 27 years old, just had my birthday, Sunday, 48 hours ago, I turned 27. And I've been traveling around the world. Thank you and thank God. I 27 young years. I feel 47 at times, and I thank God for that. He has blessed me with a wonderful family. I have a brother and a sister who were born after me, no disabilities. I was born without limbs, with no medical reason at all. My mom was a nurse. She delivered hundreds of babies before I was born. She knew exactly what to do in a pregnancy and what not to do in a pregnancy. And they had ultrasounds done, naturally. And they found out that I had no arms, no legs, not during the ultrasound, but when I said, hi. And it was a little bit of a shock and a huge tragedy. In fact, 11 months before I was born, my mum and dad planted a church in Melbourne, Australia. And the question is the goodness of God. How can we say that God is perfect? How can we say that God is good? When I say God is good, everybody say God is good. You know that saying, God is good all the time and all the time, God is good. I'm not going to get you to say that. But what I want you to know is that this morning, me saying God is good may offend you. If you don't know who God is in the fullness of Him and His character and His love and His perfection, and you don't know the knowledge of who God is through the Word of God, you may be offended when someone says God is good when your mother just died, when you just found out you got cancer, or that your son was born without arms and legs. I mean, can you imagine my parents and someone coming in, they're shocked, they can't breathe. My dad, his stomach's turned upside down, he can't believe what he's seeing, and someone would come in and then say, hey, God's good. Right. We don't see the goodness of God in pain and suffering. And you know what? It's interesting how obviously in our mind, a circumstantial change would then give us an internal change. If God gave Nick arms and legs miraculously, then everything's going to be okay. It would make sense that God, who loves me, who can do miracles, should do a miracle. That if I have the right faith to move a mountain, what's that? How much is that? Faith of a mustard seed, that then miracles can happen. Do miracles happen today?
Yes.
They do. They do. I've seen them with my own eyes. You may not believe me, but that doesn't change the truth that I've seen them. I've seen blind people seeing, deaf people hearing. I saw a deaf woman, she's been deaf or hearing impaired, as you say here in the United States, hearing impaired. Well, I don't know. I'm disabled, big deal. That's what everybody says. What do you think about the word? We'll talk about the word disabled in a second, all right? I'm going to find out your disability in a second, all right? All right? But I saw a woman who couldn't hear for 10 years and she started hearing. This is only 4 weeks in Colombia. We spoke to 160,000 people in Colombia in 9 days. We did 10 cities, you understand? We saw 50,000 people come to Jesus Christ. I've seen people who were lame walking. I've seen crooked backs come straight. I've seen feet come out. Do you understand? Like, not come out, but I mean feet that you know, like one was shorter than the other, about 2 inches, right in front of my eyes. Crooked back like this, no kidding, for 4 years, came straight within 10 seconds of prayer. So we know that God does miracles. And I'm not kidding you, I have a pair of shoes in my closet just in case He says yes. I'm serious. I would be stupid not to. Right? But what happens when God says no? Who is God? Who is God? What has God done for Nick Vujicic? What is Nick's problem? What is Nick's need? This Big 12 series, you will not ever, ever, ever come to a point of the fullness of God until you come to the fullness of needing Him. The biggest disability that we have as human beings is that we don't really need Him today. When someone needs something and God provides that need, of course you're going to be excited. But when you experience the feeling and touch of His hand on knowing that His grace is sufficient, when you read these promises, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 to 13, read that later on about how Apostle Paul says, "My grace is sufficient for you," says God. That experience, that joy, that peace, that rest, that comfort, that gives us so much ground to worship Him. where you don't need to be told, well, you know, we're going to come here to church and now you're going to worship Him. It's an expression and overflow of the heart. When you know that someone's done something for you, if this gentleman up the front in the orange shirt gives me $1 million, thank you if you have that, I'm going to be overjoyed. But if He's done nothing for me, I'm not going to just go, thank you, thank you, thank you. You're going to think I'm crazy if I just say, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. No. What has God done? What has God set free in me that I would be joyful without arms and legs? Here it is. Jeremiah 29:11, it says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for prospering, not to harm you. Plans to give you a future and a hope. Check this out. Verse 12 and 13. You ready for this? Actually, to the beginning of 14, it says, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Would you say all your heart? I will be found by you, declares the Lord. What a promise. What a promise, but it's so hard to believe that when I'm born without arms and legs, a plan to prosper me, a plan that won't harm me, looks a little harmful to me. It looked a little harmful to my parents. I was seeking God as a child, and you know, people come up to me when I was having a bad day and say, Nick, everything's going to be okay. I'm thinking everything is going to be okay. As a child, I'm like, how can you tell me that everything's going to be okay? Why? Because they knew something I didn't. They believed something I didn't. They believed that verse. I didn't understand that verse. I thought, God, surely you've forgotten me. Surely you have. In fact, I went to such a deep depression as a child that I told my mom at 8 years old that I am going to commit suicide. And at age 10, I tried. I went in my bathtub and I told mom and dad I just want to relax. And I had about 4 inches of water in there and I turned over. And I couldn't do it the first time, couldn't do it the second time, couldn't do it the third time. I just couldn't do it. Not physically. I could do it physically if I wanted to. I tried to hold my breath and all that sort of thing. But the thought came to my mind and it stopped me in my tracks. Thinking, Nick, you're about to leave a lifetime of guilt and pain on your parents' shoulders for the rest of their life. Do you really want to do that? I said, no. So I didn't go through it. I went through ups and downs. What would you give me if you saw me at age 10 the next day to make me feel better? You're going to give me money? No. You're going to give me some friends? No. They've all got arms and legs. They don't understand me. Even my own parents could only hold me when I cried. No one understood me. I wanted love. Love that I could believe in and love that could conquer all. The love of God. And at that time, I felt like He had rejected me. Where is God? Where is God? Where are you? What are your plans that you have for me? And I got angry at Him. But at age 15, I read John 9, where a man was born blind and Jesus was going through through a village with His disciples, and they came to that place where a man was born blind. And the biggest question of my life, obviously, people come up and what's the first thing they say? What happened? And I didn't know why I was born this way. And so people asked Jesus, why was this man born that way? What happened? Jesus said, it was done so that the works of God may be revealed through him. And I'm like, whoa. I even stopped reading on. It was the first time I read that story. Just the first 3 verses of John 9 changed my life. And I realized just because I don't know why I was born this way doesn't mean that Jesus doesn't know why. Just because you don't know why a zero has gone from your bank account doesn't mean that God doesn't know why. Just because you don't know why God lets your rebellious teenager go away so far away from you that they don't even want to hear from you. You don't understand why, but God does. As long as you keep on praying and you believe in His faithfulness, Romans 8:28 says, all things come together for the good for those who love Him. Excuse me, I don't need a water, I'm good. Philippians 4:13 says, "For I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7 says, "Be anxious for nothing." That's the hardest thing to do. Are you kidding me? Pastor Todd, Evangelist Nick Vujicic, you all know what it means to be anxious and scared of what's about to happen, or how is this going to work itself out? What does God have? What does Philippians 4, 6 and 7 say? He says this: "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And let the peace of God that transcends or surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Wow, Nick knows a lot of verses. Why? Just because I wanted to do it for the presentation? Yes, I've spoken 1,500 times, but I'll tell you why I've spoken 1,500 times and quoted these verses. Is because they're written on the tablet of my heart. Why are they written on the tablet of my heart? Because they changed my life. Why? Because the Word of God is truth, and who the Son sets free is free indeed. Even just yesterday, I had two of my best friends, man and wife, Nate and Christy. They're my best friends from Australia, and they've been out here for 8 months with me, just being my accountability partners and my spiritual awesome warriors. And I felt like Frodo, you know, Lord of the Rings, when he's carrying the ring and you just feel so heavy. It's just a little ring, but it's the heaviness of the calling. It's the heaviness of the purpose. Okay, I just want you to understand, I'm a 27-year-old evangelist who's spoken to 3 million people, and we've seen 400,000 souls come to Jesus Christ, and 700 million people know around me. I've seen governments, I've spoken to presidents, I've spoken to sex slaves, I've spoken to orphans, I've spoken to billionaires, I've spoken to a lot of different people. There is a big calling on my life, and I was telling them, guys, I feel like Frodo. I told them yesterday, this is crazy. I mean, something so small can become so big, meaning there was a decision that I had to make that was quite heavy in the spiritual realm, and it was difficult, humanly speaking, and emotionally and mentally. But guess what? I got through it. God gave me that truth through them. They said, "You're not carrying it. Let Jesus carry it for you." And then, you feel, that's right. It's not on my shoulders. Look at me. I am weak, but I am strong. You can see the strength of God in me because you see the weakness of me and my flesh. It's Jesus who shines. It's Jesus who carries you. It's Jesus who forgives you. It's Jesus who changes you. When you receive Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit in you, and that transforms you from the inside out. Can we turn to Psalm 1, please? You want to know my biggest problem? It wasn't having no arms, no legs. Here we go. Sorry. I just got my new Bible. You know, normally when you open it up to where you always open up, it just opens up. So don't complain to me when pages stick together. Everybody say, "I am thankful." Patience, right? Love the feeling of new pages in a Bible. I got it for my birthday. I gave it to me. The other one traveled a lot. All right, so I get a new one every 12 months. What am I going that deep for? All right, here we go. My biggest problem was not having arms and legs. So was not having arms and legs. This is the problem that I had. Nick is a human being. That's my problem. Why? Because every human being is a descendant from Adam and Eve. Why is that a big problem? Because in every human being that's a descendant from Adam and Eve is born into sin. Now, if you don't believe me that every human being is born into sin and evil and selfishness and pride and jealousy and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, all you need to do is get 2 3-year-old boys, put them in one room and give them one toy. And you'll see evil. All right. Okay. If I've lied once, I'm a liar. If I've stolen once, I'm a thief. Okay? If I've sinned once, I'm a sinner. That's my problem. What's the point of having arms and legs on earth when you don't know where you're going? This 90 years, if God gives me 90 odd years, man, praise God. Where am I going though? If there is no life after death, then everything, including love, is meaningless. Including relationships, including marriage, including the greatest gifts on earth given by God for every single one of us. If there is no eternity, then everything is meaningless. But if there is an eternity, and if Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, then everything makes sense. Why? Why does it make sense that God makes a man without arms and legs? Because he wanted to use a man without arms and legs to be his hands and feet in a way that no one else has ever been used. Go through doors that, you know, you have to get your foot in the door. He gave me only a little foot. So the door has to open up only a little bit for my foot to get in. Do you understand me? God, he knows all things. If God gave me no arms and no legs, not took away my arms and legs, he gave me the gift of having no arms, no legs. He put me in a position and perspective and joy and hunger to say, okay, God, if you ain't going to change the circumstance, then I'm going to believe your word and believe that you're going to use it. I believe that you're going to bring another soul to Jesus Christ. And I tell you guys today, I honestly tell you from the depths of my heart, what a sad day in heaven it would have been if God gave me what I wanted at age 8. And I got arms and legs, and at the end of my life, I went to God and I said, God, what was the biggest mistake I made on earth? And he'd say, Nick, you wanted arms and legs. And I'd ask him, was it wrong to ask you for arms and legs? And he would say, no, scripturally, I can back that up. God invites you to request your requests. Ask him for the desires of your heart. Okay? But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Why? The kingdom of God. Because even the worst part of your life can advance the kingdom of God. His righteousness has made me whole. I am a servant of God. I'm a child of God, forgiven of my sins. I'm an ambassador of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I stand in front of the gates of hell and redirect traffic. Big deal, you got money. Big deal. You got money? Great. Money, drugs, sex, alcohol, teenagers, sex ain't love. You can wake up in the morning and you can still think to yourself, do they still really love me? And what you really want is love. Where does that love come from? God. If you put your happiness in temporary things, your happiness will be temporary. But if you put your hope and trust in God, I tell you, man, he's going to surprise you. And not only is it an exciting life, but I tell you, you will go through depths of despair and loneliness and hurt, but then you will hold him. And when you hold him, he holds you and he will carry you through and you will find that God is faithful. He will never make a mistake. Woo! Don't you ever believe that I'm suffering more than you, because I believe being in a broken home is worse than having no arms, no legs. Pain is pain. Brokenness is brokenness. Let me finish the story of me and God upstairs in heaven. God gives me arms and legs at age 8. I'm in heaven. Nick, you asked me for arms and legs. Was it wrong to ask you for arms and legs? No, it wasn't wrong to ask me for arms and legs. But the problem was this, Nick. You wanted arms and legs more than you wanted me. That is the problem. Don't worship God saying thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, hoping he's going to give you something more. Because if you ain't really thanking him for what he's already done, you don't know who my God is then. You don't know the Bible, the God of the Bible, and you don't know him. You don't know him. You're not walking with him, and you ain't praying every day, and you ain't thanking him every day, and you ain't trusting him every day, and you ain't asking God to show you more about what he wants you to do. He's not done with you. I don't care if you got the wife, and you got the car, and you got the house. I don't care if you're a teenager and you dyed your hair gray. You elderly, more people, I want you to know that God is not done with you yet. God's not done with you yet. Do you know what a ministry it is just to pray for your family? What an honor it is that your prayer on your righteousness behalf, on the gift and grace of God, you can pray
for someone's salvation. You can shine the light and be the salt of the earth. What an honor it is! There is nothing else to live for! Don't lose your fire. Don't lose your hunger. When you come and you find the fullness of who God is, all you want to do is this. In Psalm 1, it says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scorn of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." I want to be righteous. I want to be a tree deeply planted in the Word, not just believing what someone says. "Oh, Nick, God's going to give you arms and legs." Well, okay, if He does do it, don't tell me that you are certain that He will. Because I've heard that before. He's going to give me arms and legs in heaven. You're praying for arms and legs. Let it be God's will, not my will. Why? Because God's will is always better than mine. What would you rather have? Arms and legs, if you were in my position, or save one more soul? Thinking about the 400,000, one more soul. God would say, "Nick, in heaven, if you only asked me for what I wanted, my will, 400,000 more people would have been here in heaven." What a depressing eternity. God is good. He is perfect. And if you don't thank Him today for what He's done, then you don't know Him. I know my God. When I worship Him. When I pray, I pray. Why? He is so beautiful. His love, His joy, His peace. You see, something that I have, it's free. Go to Him. Get on your knees. It ain't just coming to church. It ain't just giving to the poor. It's about knowing Him. When I see God face to face, I will stand in judgment day. And He's going to ask me two questions. You ready for this? This is it. Do you know me? And who'd you bring? That's my opinion. It's not scriptural. My opinion. There's the word. It's free. I've spoken in nations where if you bring one of these books into that country, you're out. Today, do you know Him? Well, can I ask you to come out here, please, and play some keys? It'd be rad. I would do it, but you know, it's not my calling. Do I believe that God can give me arms and legs? Yes. Do I have shoes in my closet? Yes. Do I still pray for arms and legs? Yes. Isn't that interesting? I still want to know how it feels to get on a bike, crash into a pole, and break a leg. Right? And how selfish is that? The desires of your heart are in the hands of God. And when you trust Him, you will see in due season fruit. There will be times where your tree will have no leaves, or you feel like there are no leaves, or you feel like this tree is dead. 4 weeks ago, I was in China and saw a tree with no leaves but mandarins on it. God's like, even when you don't see leaves, there's still fruit. planted by the waters? Are you planted by the living waters of God? Have you positioned yourself in a place of no sin? You cannot hide your sin from yourself or God. You cannot grow in your relationship with God or serve Him when you willingly know and you willingly have secret sins that you hide from your spouse. That'll choke you and cut off your roots to the living waters. When you cut that sin and you be real. Well, Nick, I've asked God to forgive me of my sin and I've surrendered my life to Him, but I'm still struggling with sin. Who's not? I'm not saying that to say, okay, now you can just do with that. And I'm telling you, man, I know that God has transformed my mind to a point where I have the previous life of Nick. Lust, greed, pride of the flesh, lust of the eyes, lust, the pride of life, the whole thing. God has transformed me. And I want to encourage you today that when you start with the need for God and you ask Him into your life, He does transform you to a point where you are willing to cut away sin. And I want you to know that nothing will be perfect here on earth, but that's where we strive and hunger for righteousness. And Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this, He who began a good work in me will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Do you see that the victory over all of life and all of sin and all of death is needing God and loving Him fully, praying, being with Him, serving others? It all stems from your need for Him. You can't do this on your own. You can't. You can't forget the failures of the past. You can't ignore the fear of the future. But when you put your hope in God, day by day, He transforms you. Nick, are you happy all the time? No. But I trust Him. I trust Him. He loves me. He loves you. Don't compare your righteousness to mine. Compare your righteousness to Jesus. Jesus, who had no sin, then took my sin on His shoulders, paid the price. Teenagers, if you come to church and you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ, this is why Jesus died on the cross. I was supposed to die for my sin. I was not supposed to go to heaven. But because I believe that Jesus died in my place and He took my sin and He shed His blood and He paid the price of sin. If you don't believe me, it's all in the Word of God. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. If you believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as the only man who rose Himself from the dead, then the Spirit of God that raised Jesus Christ from the dead then will live in me. That's my assurance. That's my hope. That. And God saying, Nick, well done, my good and faithful one. Not because I was perfect, but because I let Him carry me, I let Him change me, I let Him use me, and I still praised Him in the storm. That is when you're free. One of our shirts says, Saul. Isaiah 40:31 says, those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. I don't need arms and legs to soar. I'm flying on the wings of the Holy Spirit. Pastor Todd and I, we both have a heart for people saying, you know what? I want to quit doing it my way in your own heart. And I know that you've only done this at this church only a handful of times, but Todd and I truly believe that those handful of times, we're going to add another one where I'm going to ask you that if today you are not walking with God. And I'm not talking about, okay, you're reading your word, you come into, you know, the church. No, I'm talking about you are not living the way God wants you to live. And you've maybe known it in the past, but you've walked away and you don't have an active relationship with God today. And today you want to say, Nick, you know what? I'm done. I'm quitting right now doing it my way. I want to do it God's. I can't do this on my own. I'm tired and I'm exhausted. Or if you have never said, Jesus, come into my life, I need you. I need you now. You think I had a need for God? You're more disabled than I am if you're addicted to pornography. If you can't forgive someone who's hurt you, you're more disabled than I am. And I'm not saying that forgiveness is easy. Sometimes it'll take a whole lifetime just to have that thorn in your side and to know that Jesus has forgiven me and God's going to give me grace just to get through today. But at least not to hate somebody. Do you see disabled? The word disabled, picture it, right? Disabled, okay? When you go and sin no more, you put a G-O in front of disabled and it spells God is abled. Okay? We're all disabled. But when you go and trust in God, He will transform you from the inside out. Today, if you want to say, you know what, God, I want you in my life. I want to quit doing it my way. In a second, I'm going to get you to stand where you are, and I want you to come to the front. And I've assured Pastor Todd that I'm not going to lay hands on you, and, you know, it's all good. But today, right now, if you know that you need Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you are playing church, and you don't want to play it anymore, you want to know more about God, you want to have an active relationship that every day I'm praying for today, I'm thanking God for today, and I'm trusting in God for today. I want that joy, I want that that hunger for Him, and I want to be that tree. Wherever God has let you be, He can today uproot you and put you where exactly He wants you to be. What is that? The living waters of peace and joy and faith. Today, if you know that you need Jesus Christ in your life, and you want to say, Nick, you know what? I want to change my life. Right now, stand where you are and come to the front. Don't come up if you're already in a relationship with God. But right now, if you know that you need to give your life to Jesus Christ today, you need to get real in your relationship with Him, either for the first time or you need to come back to Him. Right now, stand to your feet in the name of Jesus and come forward and let's say a prayer together. Come on. Come on. Right now. Come on. Let's give a big round of applause. There's going to be people coming up. Come on. Come on. Come on. There's one. Come on. From the top to the front. From my right to my left. Come on. Just face me, man. Just face me. Come on. Come on. Come on. Lift your voices, guys. Come on. There are people coming to Jesus Christ today. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Just come, just come, just come. There are many more of you. Come on. Why are you sitting there? Grab the hand of your wife and say, you know what? I want to come. 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 I'm done with my life. I want Jesus. I want Jesus. I want Jesus. I want Jesus. Come on. Come on. Come on. There are so many more of you. Come on. Come on. Just come. Just come. Just come. Come on. Just say a prayer with me. Start that relationship with God. Come on. Just face me, guys. Face me. Just turn around. Just face me. You're cool. You don't need to applause anymore, but right now, guys, come on. If you know that God is calling you to a relationship with Him and you feel like your feet have never been heavy like this before, I want you to know in the name of Jesus that fear be broken right now and just come. Your burden is heavy. But Jesus will carry you through. Are you done yet? Are you done yet? Are you finished yet trying to clean a house with filthy rags? Do you understand? Maybe you are too afraid to come up because God's not going to forgive you of your sin and you've got shame and guilt. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Do you understand? You're in a cage and today you can be free. You can be free of depression and fear and anxiety, and the Holy Spirit can come on you when you ask Him into your life. Come on, I'm going to wait for the people up top. Oh, Nick, it's going to take me ages. Come on, in the name of Jesus, last call right now. In the name of Jesus, tell your friend, would you come with me? Come, Mom, come, Dad, come with me right now. Come on, you're never too young, never too late to give your life to Jesus Christ. Would you come forward right now? Last call. Come on. One. Don't applaud yet. Watch this. One, two. Come on. That's two more. Come on. Come on. Come on. That's two more people. Three. Up the top. I'm going to wait for you. Hurry up and come down in the name of Jesus Christ. That's three more. Come on. Anybody else? Four. Five. That's five more. Six. Keep coming. Hurry up. I don't have a wristwatch. Six, seven, eight. Hallelujah. Nine up the top. Hurry up and run down. Come on, come on, come on, come on. That's nine. Keep coming. Today, Jesus is here. And today, if you want to reach Him, He's only a prayer away. To say that prayer, say it from your heart, and He will answer you. Faith is not a feeling. Faith is believing because He says so. Today your name is going to be written in the book of life. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads and pray. I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to, while I'm praying, that person's still coming forward. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You, Lord, for everybody here. We thank You, Holy Spirit, for Your presence. We thank You, Lord, for Your truth that has set us free. And we ask in the mighty name of Jesus that today we would be free, free, free. Lord God, we thank You that You haven't called us to be perfect, but You've called us to trust in You, Lord God. To believe that You're going to live in us and You're going to transform us one day at a time. To grow, to learn, to seek Your face and Your will. That plan that is to prosper us and not to harm us. Father, we do pray for miracles in the mighty name of Jesus here today. But Father, we thank You that the greatest miracle of all is knowing You. So Father, may You bless these people up the front who've given their heart to You and the people in the seats who also will be doing as well. Thank You, God. I think that person is here, and I just want you all, if you don't mind, in your heart or out loud, just repeat this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to You today, and I thank You for loving me so much that You died on the cross for all of my sin. I am so sorry for what I've done wrong. Please forgive me. Help me to forgive myself, to live a life that You want me to live. Give me strength, heal my heart, and set me free. Give me a comfort and joy to know that You're with me. I want to know You more today. Teach me to pray. Teach me to thank You. And teach me to trust You. Bless my family. And bless my friends. Help me to be Your love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. One more thing, sorry. No. One more exciting thing. Okay. Jesus is your strength, the Son of God, who's forgiven you of your sins. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." You now have started that journey in Him. And one more thing I want to do before we move on. There are people here in your seats who've said that prayer, who's done exactly what these people have done at the front, but for whatever reason, you just didn't come forward. If you don't come forward, and if you don't speak with someone that we want you to just really quickly pray with, and we want to give you just help, because I'll tell you why you need help. You're going to wake up in the morning and say, I really felt something that day, and I really wanted God. But tomorrow morning, you're going to think, well, what now? That whole question of what now is why this church is here. So right now, if you want to say, you know what, Nick, I did exactly what these people did up the front, but I just didn't come forward, I urge you right now, stand right now where you are, friend, and come forward. Come on, bring a friend. If that's you, come forward right now. You're going to see him coming. Come on, from the front to the back, from your right to your left. Come on, come forward. Come forward right now. Come on, there are more people here. I know that you've said that prayer. Come forward. Don't wait. If you know your husband said it, ask him. I'll come with you. The other way around, I'll go with you. Come on, if you know that you said that prayer. Here, you ready? You ready, gentlemen? Here it is. You're the leader of the household. And if you just made your heart right with God, and you can say, you know what, honey, I did this for us and for our family. I know I wasn't walking the way God wants me to do it, and I don't want to do it my way anymore. Stand in the name of Jesus now and come. Come on. Start applauding, guys. There are people coming.
Come on. Come on. Come on. At the top, I'm going to wait for you at the top. There you go. There you go. Come on. Come down. Come down. Come down. Don't be afraid. Just come. Just come. Come on. Just tell your girlfriend. Tell your guy. Come on. Come on. Just come. Just come. Just come. Come on. Hallelujah.
Awesome.
Well, as Nick said, we don't do that often. But when we do it, we want you to know it's not you that came that made you right with God, isn't it? It's a faith decision. And by faith, we've been justified through Jesus Christ and at peace with God. If you are one of these friends that are here, and there's still some of you that pride in the flesh still kept you from moving forward, even though you made a decision. The scripture says, if you don't profess me before men, then I'm not going to profess you before my Father who's in heaven. That's our privilege, by the way, every week. Not just a one-time walk up front, but every day, the way that we live as we go into this community, that we profess Christ. And we're happy to tell them why we celebrate Christmas. Because it's the birth of our Savior. And it transforms us from the inside out. What I want to ask all my friends here to do is, after we're done singing, if we'll just walk right back over that way, and there's a room, we're going to just have you in there, and we're just going to gather with you just for a second and give you an opportunity. We're going to show you exactly how we want to love you and follow up with you, okay? In a very committed way. So just right around that corner, just a second, we start singing. And then I'm going to ask, just look up here, and there's already some friends that came with friends, but if you're, I need 30 people to come in that room who know Christ and are ready to make disciples with me. Okay? And so if I need 15 men and 15 women to also come in that room. If we have 60, we'll send 30 away. But I need 30 faithful followers of Christ to come in that room with me. Okay? Because we're going to have a personal relationship with every one of these folks and help them integrate into the body. Father, I thank you for my friend Nick. I thank you for the way that you have reminded us today that you are good, not because you give arms and legs, but because you have given us, Father, grace. No, you're not even good because you gave us grace. You are good because grace is who you are. You are good because love is who you are, because justice is who you are, and you have revealed that through Jesus Christ. We see your goodness in Christ, but you are not good because you save us. You save us because you're good. And we thank you for that. We pray that this body, all the folks, Lord, what an incredible stewardship. You have built a church, apparently, of 2,000 people that already know you that are here this morning, with thousands more coming. And with this being your temple, we ought to really, Father, this resource, transform this city with our faithfulness. Rebuke those that have not memorized Scripture like Nick. Rebuke those that are not part of a fellowship and accountability like Nick is. Rebuke all of us, Father, that are passionate about the gospel the way Nick was this morning. So we can be your church, your people, a holy priesthood, a people for your own possession to declare your marvelous truths in light. We thank you for the courageous children of God that came forward this morning. And I pray now that courageous children of God would go into the world. That we would know that we are made perfectly by you. For a wonderful purpose. May we not miss out on that. Lord, for hearts that are still cold here this morning, people that have not yet responded, I pray they would meet us in that room. That they would come. It's not too late to come. If the enemy worked them over and made them too prideful to move in a room of 2,000, let them move now as we sing. And join us. Glorify yourself, Christ, continually in this moment and forever. Amen. We're going to sing one last song. We're all going to stand and do it. I'd love for you guys just to go ahead and walk in that back room with me. I'd love for others to meet me in there. If you've made a profession to follow Christ today, if you'd come in that room, if you've made a profession to live for Christ before, I pray you go and have a week of worship. I want to say one last thing. I'm going to do it earlier in the next service. But whenever we have a guest like this that comes, everybody always asks, how can I have this? First of all, you guys know everything we do here is stream free in the web. But if you'd like other stuff, because Nick has put that thing together carefully, we always make it available the day that that person's here. That's happened. But I want to tell you what we make available all the time, a community of saints that will spur you on to love and good deeds. You're going to mess up your forever if you don't know that God loves you and has a wonderful purpose for your life. If you know that, stand and sing that one verse and one chorus with me. Let's stand together. God bless you. Don't miss out on the chance to be here tonight at 5:30. If you've got friends that need to hear this message, and I don't know any of us that don't, we'll see you again at 5:30. We'll see you at 4 to pray together that we'd be a church that would respond. Let's sing, Take My Life.